This is episode number 19 with Johannes Petros.
I specialize in a very specific type of security. Subconscious security.
You're talking about dreams.
We create the world of the dream. We bring the subject into that dream. And they fill it with their secrets. It's called Inception.
Hello everyone and welcome to Cerebral Mind Control. My name is Hadlin. I am a hypnotist, magician, mentalist, and speaker. Every week I will bring to you a driven, focused artist or entrepreneur and pick their brains on how they have learned to control their minds for success. Thank you so much for tuning in. Here we go. Welcome back to the Cerebral Mind Control Podcast. This episode has been brought to you by Hadlin Entertainment, Canada's one-stop shop for premium corporate quality entertainment services. On this episode, we speak with Johannes Petros, who has created such a great brand of hummus called Hanes Hummus. And I'm currently eating it right now. It is such a good product. And he's from Saskatoon. He created this in Vancouver. But you know, don't let me tell you the story. We hear all about Johannes Petros, aka Hanes, during this podcast episode. He tells us all about how he came up with the hummus and how it turned into such a lucrative business, which has been gaining him so much success in the more recent months as his business starts to snowball and gain momentum. I had such a great time listening to his story and asking him a bunch of questions that really are helping me already in my business. So without further ado, ladies and gentlemen, Johannes Petros.
All right. Johannes, thank you for coming out.
It's nice to be here. Thank you.
Yeah, it's great. Yeah. So glad that you've been able to come out here and do this podcast episode with me because, you know, when we first met, we were doing a modeling gig together.
Yep.
Which was kind of a different way for two people to get connected.
For sure.
Yeah, and ever since then, I've been following your work on social media. And just recently, you've had some huge news.
I have.
So why don't you, instead of me talking about it, let's hear from you. What's the latest big thing that just happened?
Sure. Well, it's been, thank you for having me. And a lot has been happening in the last few months. In November, I won the Brett Wilson pitch party. Brett Wilson is originally from Saskatchewan. He's a former dragon on Dragon's Den. He's well known, you know, in this province and also in this country. He's a very successful business person. And he hosts an annual event in Saskatoon called the Pitch Party. It's a big event where, you know, there's a big dinner and, you know, everybody's allowed to participate in
network.
Exactly. It's a big networking event. And I was there promoting my business, Hanes Hummus. And as I was walking into the event after I had set up my booth for the afternoon, I was walking in and there was a gentleman who was, you know, welcoming guests. And he said, you have an opportunity to, you know, if you have a business card, putting it into this drum and six people will be chosen to go up and potentially pitch to Brett.
So you didn't have it pre-planned?
Not at all.
Wow.
Not at all.
Wow. Okay.
So, I was waiting for the first part of the event to be, you know, to end. And, you know, then they announced that they were about to make the draw and they chose six business cards. I was the fifth one. And, so I wasn't prepared, you know, to go up there because that wasn't something that I was planning on doing. I ended up winning the pitch party, which was, you know, kind of a surprise to me. But it just goes to show that, you know, if you really know your business, you'll be able to speak about it at any time, you know, in front of one person or 1,000 people. So that was the first big thing that happened. Got lots of publicity from that. Then, just before Christmas, A few days before Christmas, I announced that Hanes Hummus is available in all Western Canada Federated Co-op locations. So,
and that's huge.
For sure. Absolutely. And then about a week after that, I announced that Hanes Hummus came to an agreement with Hanes Brand Incorporated, the large textile manufacturer. Everybody knows them as Hanes Underwear. So I had been in a 2-year legal dispute with them over the use of the word Hanes. So 2 years ago, they sent me a cease and desist letter demanding that I stop using the word Hanes in my business. And we came to an agreement whereby, you know, I get to keep operating as Hanes Hummus. So that those are the three big things that have kind of happened within the last 2 months.
And that's in such quick succession too. Have you seen a lot of growth and momentum increasing because of it?
For sure. I think the biggest thing is just that exposure, right? It's not only through social media, which is wonderful, but also through traditional media, you know, television news, newspapers, radio. It definitely, you know, creates buzz that, you know, is more than, you know, my own efforts, right?
Exactly.
So yeah, it's been really good. And now I'll just continue to build on that, you know, moving forward into this new year.
Great.
Yeah.
That's so awesome. That's so great that you won that lawsuit. You know, I read some of the articles.
Yeah.
The little guy can win.
For sure. Absolutely.
And I wouldn't say you're a little guy, yo. Your brand, you've built such a strong culture behind it. You know, it's growing at a very fast rate, I'd say. You know, in the past, you've been doing this for 5 years?
5 years now. Yeah. Go ahead.
So the first 3 years, it didn't really hear about you or anything?
Yeah. Everybody asks, you know, how did such a big company hear about you, you know? And I went to trademark Hanes Hummus, and that's how they found out.
Okay.
But, you know, the first 3 years, that I was operating, it was, you know, it was more or less a hobby, you know, something that I was doing part-time on the side. And 2 years ago, I decided to, you know, make a go for it, exactly, and, you know, commit myself.
Exactly. Yeah. Nice.
Thank you.
Oh, man, that's so sweet. Mm-hmm. I can appreciate that sort of drive in people, because it takes a lot to be able to put all your eggs in, maybe not necessarily one basket, but, you know, just going full force into something. Just knowing that when it was part-time, you had this much success. And now when you put all your time into it, you can just see all the growth. And you're the one right there on the front lines.
For sure.
Seeing all of it, doing all of it.
I agree.
You're doing some great things.
Thank you very much.
And I'd have to say, I've been to a few events and I've seen your booths. You're doing it right. You're doing your marketing right, for sure. And your product is superb.
Thank you very much.
Delicious.
Thank you.
Now, all right. If we can maybe talk a bit about how things got started, maybe go back a bit further.
Sure.
So 5 years ago you started.
Mm-hmm.
How did you come up with the idea?
There's two answers. You know, there's a 60-second answer, and then there's a little bit of a longer one, and we've got time here.
Yeah, we want to hear the long story.
Sure. There was no idea to begin a food business. While living in Vancouver, I began making hummus for myself. And anybody that ever tried my hummus in my home was always blown away by how good and how different it tasted from other hummus that they had. And, you know, jokingly, friends would say, you should sell hummus. And some of them a bit more seriously. And I never took it seriously. You know, it was not something that I ever envisioned myself doing. And nothing happened of it. I moved back to Saskatoon in 2009 after living in Vancouver for almost 10 years. And I had some hummus in my fridge that I had made. And my cousin, who was working at an establishment here in Saskatoon, happened to take some from my home. And while she was on a break at work, was eating some. And her coworkers tried it. And, you know, they demanded to know where she got this hummus.
Really?
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah. And so she told them that I made it. And they're like, oh, we don't believe you. And she's like, oh, he's been making hummus for himself, you know, for all these years. And yeah, it is really good. And I said, is there any way we could serve it here? So she said, I'll ask him. So she spoke to me, and I began making it for that establishment. That place is Flint.
Okay, yeah.
So they were my very first customer. Then what would happen is Flint customers would go in, they would order some hummus, and at that time it was not called Haynes hummus. It's just the hummus. And the reaction was consistent. You know, where did you get this hummus? Where can we buy this hummus? And so Flint staff gave these customers my contact information. So I started making hummus for strangers who would show up at my house, and we would do a little transaction, and away they would go. Then inevitably they would, you know, have, they would take that hummus to work or to, you know, a dinner party, or, you know, people would come to their home. And it was, again, the same thing. You know, people would say, where did you buy this hummus? Some guy named Johannes. So, you know, for about a year, I was, you know, doing this out of my home, selling to, you know, complete strangers who said, you know, here we are. And then in 2010, the Greek Pavilion, so there's an annual event in Saskatoon, Folk Fest, I'm sure you're aware of it. And so they got a hold of me and said, you know, we heard that you make really good hummus. Would you make it for the Greek Pavilion? Now, at this time, I'm still making it at home in, like, very small food processor. And now they're asking me to make it, you know, in a larger quantity for thousands of people. I'm not good at math. And, you know, scaling up a recipe requires, you know, to some math skills. And it may not taste the same, right?
Right.
So I, you know, I reluctantly said, okay, I'll give it a shot, you know, and the response was amazing. Everybody loved it at the Greek Pavilion so much that they asked me to do it again the following year. Yeah. So then, you know, I began to think about, you know, everybody that ever tried my hummus and what their comments were and their reactions and just how much people genuinely loved it, you know? So I was like, okay, clearly you have a talent at this. And, so then I began approaching some local businesses. And initially everybody said, no, we already have hummus and we're not interested. It's too expensive. You know, there's a variety of reasons, but basically the common denominator is we have hummus. Right. And, but then two local stores, Dad's Organic Market and Steep Hill Food Cooperative, two businesses in Saskatoon that, you know, have deep roots in this community. They've been around for about 30 years. So they're well respected. They have credibility. They liked my product enough and they said, sure, we'll start selling it. So I was elated. Excuse me. People now could, rather than just showing up at my doorstep and buying it, you know, I could direct them to a store and say, right, you know, go buy it here. You know, slowly a few more stores locally began carrying it. It was still very much, you know, something I was doing on the side. I wasn't making it out of my home at this point. I was renting a commercial space out of a restaurant. And that's kind of the genesis. That's kind of how it began. You know, there's more to it from where it went from that point to where I am today. But I never had an idea or a desire to be in the food business.
Just sort of happened organically.
Exactly.
That's a great story. I like that a lot because some people try to force things and you just happened into it naturally. It's something you're passionate about.
Mm-hmm.
And everyone could see, you know, maybe they weren't joking. Maybe they were actually, maybe in the back of their mind, they were like, this would be a great product.
Yeah. You know, looking back, I can see that some of them were legitimately, like, you know, expressing you should sell hummus. What I've come to realize, however, though, is getting a product onto market is really difficult. You know,
a lot of steps involved.
Oh, it's incredibly difficult. And so, you know, the fact that I began this without the intention of getting into business of, you know, I think that, could have been a blessing in one way, or it could have been a curse. Right. You know, you can look at it several different ways. Their comments, you know, several years ago, I know that there's some truth to it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's awesome.
Thank you.
You know, and if someone were to make a movie, that would almost be like foreshadowing.
For sure.
That's really cool.
Thank you.
Oh man, I can't get over how it wasn't an idea. It just happened.
For sure.
You know, that's really how, if I think back on it, that's kind of how I started with magic. You know, it was just kind of a hobby. A few people told me you should do a show. Mm-hmm. Why aren't you in Vegas? Why aren't you on America's Got Talent or something? And just a simple magic trick.
Yep.
And then, yeah, now I'm doing it full time. I could see some parallels.
It's for
interesting.
Sure.
I never really thought of it that way until you told your story.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It's a good way to, think about it.
For sure.
Cool. Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I'm going to think back and go through it all, and I'll have better answers for people and when people ask me.
For sure.
So, Johannes, some of the articles, it explains how you got your name.
Mm-hmm.
Haynes is in Johannes.
That's right.
And it's your nickname in a sense.
Yeah, it is my nickname.
So is it okay if I call you from this point forward Haynes?
You know, you totally can, because I like you. You know, I'm not used to strangers calling me Haynes, because it's my close friends call me Haynes.
Yeah.
You know, but you know, I'm now a public figure, and it does happen. You know, people will say either that's the hummus guy, or you know, that's Mr. Haynes, or right. That's Haynes Hummus, or sometimes, you know, people just think that that is my name, and they'll say Haynes, right?
Right.
But yeah, go ahead. You can call me Haynes.
All right. Yeah, and for everyone listening, you got to call him Johannes.
Exactly.
How did you cultivate the mindset to be able to have that confidence to approach businesses and ask them, would you carry my product? Like, where did that stem from?
Everything that you do in your life is going to contribute to who you are today. And all of the experiences that I've had, you know, whether formal or informal, you know, friendships that I've had, you know, my education, you know, the type of household that I grew up in, you know, the type of community that I grew up in, all of these things, you know, shaped me. And certainly, if I didn't have the self-confidence to be able to articulate what it is that I was doing, you know, up until now, these last 5 years, and that I continue to do, if I didn't have that confidence to be able to say, I have something good, and, you know, here's why you should have it, I wouldn't be here. Because nobody in the, you know, in the retail landscape, wants to introduce something that is unknown, you know, so you really have to believe in what it is that you have and what it is that you want to do with it. So I don't have a background in business, you know, whether formally in education, I don't have a background in, you know, food science. I'm not a chef. I'm a human being. I love to eat, and, I love to eat well. And, you know, why I started making hummus for myself years ago is, you know, it was a healthy alternative to supplement, you know, my diet. You know, I'm not vegetarian, but I think it's important to eat a well-balanced diet.
Right.
And so, what was I doing previous to this? I was a yoga instructor. I was a sign language interpreter.
Okay, cool.
I worked with, and I continue to work with, adults with intellectual disabilities. I've done everything from tree planting to, working as a janitor to, so many things, And,
wow.
So I guess one of the things that I always tell people is you better be ready if you want to start your own business to bust your balls. You have to work so hard, not just in the beginning, but you to seeing it through. You have to work hard, and having a good idea or a good product or a good service, yes, is important, but unless you have that work ethic, it's not going to happen. And I believe that all of my life experiences, lead back to that work ethic. Yes, I have the, I have the confidence, I have a good product, but I've also worked really hard, and I will continue to work hard.
Is that something you've always had or something that you were taught?
Yeah, it's something that, it was something that I was taught. It was something that was demanded, from, my family, from my parents, watching them, raise four boys. We were immigrants to this country. And so I saw them, and when I was able to, be of a certain age, we did lots of work in the house and outside of the home, and so, yeah, from early on in my life, I was taught that, in order to get what you want, you have to earn it. And certainly, any success that I've had with Haynes Hummus has been earned. Nothing has been given. Zero.
Perfect.
Yeah.
That's really the way it should be. Someone where, and you see this all the time, for instance, when people win the lottery, a lot of them end up broke at the end of the day. They spent through it all and they have nothing to show for it. Maybe they have a house, but they have to sell it because that they quit their job and they don't have any income.
Right.
But people that actually work for it and earn it, those are the types of people that are able to sustain that lifestyle and continue forward and growing. And you are that guy. You 5 years ago, what's the biggest difference?
There's many things that are different now and before. I now, in terms of, I would say, let's say if I had to pick like the top three, there's more at stake now, right? 5 years ago, I had no, you could call it, I had no capital investment. I didn't have, the time invested. Now I've got, 5 years later, I've spent, hundreds of thousands of dollars in building my brand to where it's at. I'm about to, spend a lot of money on, equipment, because, I'm about to open my own facility. So there's more at stake. And there's more risk involved now, right? That's the one thing in business. As in life, there's no guarantees. So there's that incentive to work harder because, there's a lot at stake. I could say another thing would be that I have less time now towards, just a social life, there's many things, there's many challenges involved in, starting a business and operating it. And one of the things is I don't see a lot of people other than when I'm out doing, you know, conducting my business and, you know, yeah, and it's just, yeah, it's just the way it is, you know, you know, unfortunately, and fortunately, you know, I feel very blessed to be able to do what I'm doing, but, you know, the last 2 years, you know, I don't see very many of my friends. I don't see very much of my family. It doesn't mean that I never see anybody, but, I've had to stay very focused on this. So that's another challenge as well. And then a third thing. Wow.
Let's leave it at that. I actually want to ask you about the focus. How were you able to make that shift? Can you pinpoint the time? And
yeah, I mean, I can, it's, I know exactly the time that it was. I got married, in June of, 2013.
Congratulations.
And thank you. And it was right around that time, you know, we had a big wedding. And you know, I said, when this wedding is over, you know, then, this is when I'm jumping, you know, full force into growing this business. So it was, you know, in the fall of 2013. And when I made that decision, I still didn't know, you know, what was going to be required of me because, like I said to you earlier, you know, I kind of did this on my own. And, but the nature of the business of trying to get your stuff, of trying to get people's attention, basically, you know, it takes a lot of time. And, so I didn't know going into it, you know, how difficult it was going to be. You know, nobody sat me down and I didn't go out and ask people.
Did you have any mentors?
Not at the time. But, you know, what I've continued to do is, you know, in the course of my business, anybody that I meet who's in, you know, the food industry, you know, and there's a lot of different components and businesses that go into the food industry. It's not just, you know, chefs in the business, right? There's a lot of different modes of business that go into that. I'm always seeking, you know, information and asking questions, because the learning curve is so steep. And, so yeah, I don't know if that answered your question.
No, that's good. Well, sure. I like it a lot, man. When you're learning new aspects of your business, how do you go about that? Do you start researching online first? Like, what's your process?
Yeah. Honestly, it, you are able to, you research what you need. And what I mean by that is there's no formula, you know, so looking back, I mean, it happens. Yeah, you can do that, but I didn't go that route. And so my first big, you know, exposure to the food industry was my first trade show that I ever exhibited at. And that was in April of 2014 in Vancouver. This trade show, Canadian Health Food Association, they have two, trade shows in Canada. It's the largest trade show for the natural and organic food industry in Canada. So they have one, and that was my first one. So they have one in BC and one in Ontario. And so going to that was a huge eye opener. I was like, holy, okay, this is what's going on. This is, you know, this is where a lot of decisions get made. And so by participating in that, it opened up, you know, a new world for me, essentially, of, you know, what is necessary to get your product to market. And so from that, you know, I was able to, you know, meet a lot of different people, see, you know, other businesses that, you know, were in a similar position to mine. And you kind of connect the dots as you go along. You know, it sounds like I'm giving you a generic answer, but, it's how I did it, you know, And there's so many components, as I said, in the food industry. There's packaging, there's marketing, there's advertising, there's, you know, who do you get your ingredients from? You know, who does your, who's going to do your transport? Who's going to design your website? There's so many things. And, I've learned along the way. And so as difficult as it's been, it's also been, a blessing in that there's no part of my business that I'm not familiar with because I've had to educate myself.
If you could share with us what you envision for yourself now to yourself 5 years in the future, what's next?
So my goal with Hanes Hummus is to make it into a national brand that will be available, you know, from coast to coast. That's,
you're very close to that.
I'm getting there. I know that I still have a long way to go.
Well, from my standpoint, you know,
sure.
Co-op is already nationwide.
Yeah, for sure.
You're almost there.
Yes.
It's huge.
It is.
I think you're going to get there faster than, you know, than you think.
Than I think. Okay. I appreciate that. So that's the ultimate goal. And, you know, looking ahead, I want to continue to keep the integrity of, you know, the products that I ultimately will sell to the public. I want to keep that high quality. You know, typically what happens as businesses grow is quality comes down, you know, and that's been something that has been crucial to my success, is that I haven't compromised, you know, my recipes as I've scaled up, you know, my production. So I want to keep that. I want to retain that. You know, I get asked all the time, you know, are you going to do other dips? Are you going to, you know, get into other types of things? And the answer is, we'll see. You know, I want to be able to be the best at what it is that I'm doing. And if I want to, you know, expand into other things, I will do so knowing that I've mastered that as well, you know.
Instead of being a jack of all trades, you want to be a master of one.
Exactly.
That's a good mindset. Yeah, it's a good philosophy, and it's great.
Thank you.
Internationally, do you feel that's the next step after you go coast to coast in Canada?
Yeah, I mean, the U.S. is certainly on the horizon, there's such a big market, right? They're 10 times the size of, you know, the Canadian market in, you know, all products and services. So certainly that would be something that, you know, I can work towards, but right now I've got a lot to chew on.
Right.
Yeah. Here in Canada. Yeah.
You got to do it in stages too. You know, just as it came to fruition, you know, let it happen organically, and then you're going to do it right.
Thank you.
What are the top three business values that you've come across that have helped you?
I would say that you need to genuinely believe that what you're doing or what you have is good. You know, and what I mean by that is when I'm out conducting my business, and whether I'm in a grocery store doing sampling, or whether I'm at a trade show, or whether, you know, I'm talking to you, I can genuinely say, this is the best hummus you're ever going to try. Because, that sentiment has been told to me thousands of times by, you know, complete strangers, you know, who have tried it and just been like, wow, this is the best hummus. And so that my confidence in knowing I have something good comes not from me, that comes from other people. So, yeah, you have to have something good. That's really, really important. Because when you talk about it, if it's not genuinely good, you can't genuinely say that. Then
exactly.
then you're a flake, right? A second thing that I would say is, you know, I spoke to this earlier, but be prepared to commit 100% to your project. You have got to, you have to be prepared to, let go of all other, aspirations, basically, you know, and, you know, you need to sacrifice, a lot of your time and your energy and sleep and, perhaps relationships. Because nobody will do the work for you. I mean, nobody will do the work for you. And, you got to be persistent, and then the last thing I would say is, if you don't see that what you're doing, gives you any kind of joy, despite, all of the hard work and, the challenges and all of those difficulties that you will face, if you don't appreciate the process of what you're doing, then it ain't gonna happen. I can genuinely say I love what I'm doing, even though I may not love it every day.
Yeah.
Right? As a whole, I do love it. And for that reason, I feel incredibly blessed. You spoke about winning the lotto earlier in financial terms. I do feel like I won the lotto in terms of this life path that I'm on right now. And I don't know how long it will be, but that is how I feel. I've said that to my wife. I feel like I've won the lotto. I've created something that people really love, and are willing to go and pay for it, that's really special, and I don't take it for granted.
And you're feeding people, which is huge.
No doubt.
That's, everyone needs to eat.
Yes.
It must, like you were talking about before, everyone needs to eat, so it's a huge industry, and for you to be able to make your mark in it is a testament to hard work and, just your drive and your focus.
Yeah.
So I just have to acknowledge you, man, because you are an amazing entrepreneur, and obviously you know your stuff, because not only did you win the pitch party, which, by the way, it's always a great event. I dropped my business card in, not this past one, but the year before.
Oh, okay.
Didn't come up, but
okay.
It's okay.
Sure.
But yeah.
All right.
And you're doing trade shows. You're mm-hmm. you're out there every single day working on your craft and
for sure.
improving yourself and your business. And yeah, if anyone can take anything from this, is just to be able to have confidence in yourself, like you're saying.
Mm-hmm.
And as long as you have something good, it's going to work out. And I think you were about to say something.
All of those things are accurate. The underlying factor that people need to appreciate and know ahead of time if they want to get into not just the food industry, but any business you want to start up, is that you have to work hard. Unless your daddy is Bill Gates, and basically something is handed to you, that's something different. But you gotta scrap it out, you gotta claw, you gotta scratch, you gotta smile the whole time. You gotta, even when you're, burning up inside and, you've been told no 1,000 times, you still gotta smile. And, that's what people see. So, yeah, again, the underlying factor is be prepared to work. And it's that work, it's that effort that makes any successes taste so good, right? Right. You know, without that, it's meaningless, right? If you can see something grow that you have, you know, nurtured and that you have, you know, that you've taken care of and that you've, helped, you know, build, then you can pat yourself on the back and say, you know, my efforts made that happen. You know, but if it's just handed to you, you know,
you don't appreciate it as much. And
not at all. Not at all.
Could you share with us? Let me reframe this question here. If everything that you have ever done for whatever reason was just gone from the world, but you could leave behind one thing and it would scream Johannes, what would it be?
Oh,
so like your website, everything, sure. You know, all the interviews somehow just magically got deleted.
Yeah, yeah.
And you had the opportunity to leave behind one thing. So, you know, it could be your product. Could be a TV show. Sure. Could be a movie. I don't know.
Yeah. Honestly, I would. It's not something that is tangible, but it would be, you know, my relationship with, you know, the people that, you know, I've come into contact with. Mm-hmm. You know, we didn't speak about this, in this interview, but ultimately what I've come to realize is that, businesses are built upon relationships, you know, and, I've cultivated a lot in the last 5 years. And I'll continue to cultivate those relationships. And so, you know, the relationships that I've had with businesses that have, you know, done business with Haynes Hummus have happened because there's been a mutual understanding, mutual likability. And I've been honest with the people that I'm sitting across. Mm-hmm. And that extends to, you know, your personal life as well.
Right.
And so it's, you know, being genuine, I guess that's what I would say.
Okay.
Yeah.
I like it.
Yeah.
I like it a lot. Now, this is similar.
Okay.
Do you have kids?
No, I don't.
Okay. So for your future kids,
yeah.
You have the opportunity to leave behind a book, a TV show, a movie, or an album. And within this, it teaches in a very important lesson that they have to learn and they have to apply.
Sure.
What would it be?
I would say, you know, any album by Bob Marley.
Okay.
Yeah. Would share, you know, a lot of my values and things that are important to me, could be definitely, passed on through his music.
Very good.
Yeah.
I like it.
Yeah, for sure.
That's awesome, man. I can see you in a whole new light now too.
Yeah. 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 That's All right.
And okay, while we're here, because I'm going to be putting links in the show notes for this episode for your website and everything, not everything we spoke about, but you know, some of the highlights, for example, I'll put a link to the Bob Marley album.
Yeah, for sure.
And yeah, what's the best way for people to find you?
Sure. So the website is HaynesHummus.com.
Okay.
And we're on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at Haynes Hummus.
Nice.
Yeah.
You got the same name all across the board.
For sure.
You lucked out, I think.
Yeah, for sure.
Maybe not lucked out. No, you're prepared at the right time.
Exactly.
Yeah, I found it quite difficult to be able to get the same handle or, you know, to go across all my social media.
It's become a business unto itself. You know, people buying up domain usernames. Yeah.
Domain names too. I was lucky enough to get, you know, my domain name, but my social media, they're all different.
Right.
But
maybe you can, when you blow up, you can buy some of them back.
Yeah.
Right.
Buy some of them. It's an interesting theory. Yeah,
or just do some of your magic and just poof, take it back.
Hire some hackers.
Exactly, exactly.
Yeah, okay, so I'd have to say your social media is very strong. You have a very strong following.
Mm-hmm.
And speaking with you and hearing about your values,
mm-hmm.
you know, creating that relationship
mm-hmm.
has been huge for you. Do you feel that that's maybe the secret behind your following?
Yeah, well, you know, I got into the Instagram game kind of late compared to when I got into Facebook. But yeah, all of my posts, you know, across, you know, all three platforms, are mine. You know, I haven't hired out, you know, anybody to, you know, do these posts for me. And so anybody that sees them, you know, can recognize that, you know,
it's you,
that it's me.
Yeah.
And, so, you know, obviously as the business grows, I won't have, you know, maybe the time that I do now to dedicate to, you know, just that. But up until now, you know, I would say, it's the harsh prairie winters.
Sorry.
It's okay.
It'll be cut out.
Okay. It's all good. Yeah. You know, in creating, you know, content that, you know, is the way I am, you know, it's important for people to see what they do on social media, to be reflective of, you know, who I am. And I've, you know, I don't try to, you know, deviate from, you know, trying to do or, you know, create things that I think people will like,
mm-hmm.
you know,
you just do things that you like.
I just do things that I like. That, you know, that I hope people will appreciate.
Right.
Yeah.
And people are.
Yeah, for
definitely.
Sure. For sure.
So how much time, if you can share that, how much time do you dedicate to your social media?
Well, it was in the last 2 months, you know, after the pitch party, for example, after the co-op announcement, after, you know, after the announcement of coming to an agreement with Hanes Underwear, it blew up, you know, and I respond back to everybody that leaves a comment, you know, on, especially on Facebook.
Yeah.
So December was really busy, you know. Lots of, you know, early mornings, late nights.
Yeah.
But in general, you know, I don't want to bombard people with, you know, just irrelevant things. I generally post things as there's events happening, you know, so sometimes I need to, you know, remind myself, ooh, you know, there hasn't been anything going on for a while. You haven't posted in a while. But generally it's organic. You know, I'm not just posting for the sake of it. And I know that there's tools out there whereby you can preset, you know, content to come out weekly or daily.
Right.
I don't do that because I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow, you know, and, yeah, I just don't like putting out generic things. Yeah. So.
Okay. And that's what's setting you apart.
You're
keeping your quality high in everything that you do.
For sure. And it goes with the product itself. Is Hanes Hummus is not generic.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it can't, you can't have one being this way and the other one, you know, being
exactly
different from it.
Yeah, you're keeping your brand all consistent all mm-hmm, the way through.
Mm-hmm.
All the way through.
Yeah, man.
That's awesome.
Yeah, thank you.
Do you know what motivates you?
Yeah, I do. I do. Obviously, you know, I need to make a living.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody does. If I didn't think that there was great financial reward towards what I'm doing, then, you know, I'd be fooling you and also myself. So there is that. But more than that, I'm motivated by, feeling fortunate that I'm able to work for myself. You know, that is, you know, it's so nice to be able to be, in control, you know, from start to finish, you know, of everything that I'm doing, you know, as it relates to my business.
Right.
You know, it, that concept is such a strong force, you know, it's what keeps me up at night. You know, it's like, you know, what can I do tomorrow to help this succeed? You know, because there is nobody behind, you know, behind these shoulders, right? Mm-hmm. So that's an incredibly strong motivating force, is that, you know, I'm responsible. And, you know, beyond that, hearing, you know, the public's feedback, you know, in person, on social media, or otherwise, you know, when they say, this is the best hummus I've ever had, you know, will never buy another brand of hummus after buying yours.
That's,
you know,
awesome.
That's huge.
That's a great, great review.
Absolutely.
Testimonial, whatever you want to
for
call
sure.
it. But
so that's motivating as well, right?
Yeah.
Knowing
the reactions.
I'm on the right path, right? And so, yeah, that's how I would say.
Okay.
Yeah, man.
That's awesome. Now, did you always know what motivates you, or is it something that you had to find?
Yeah, I mean, I never thought I would be on this path, honestly. And looking back at other careers that I've had, which included being a student as well, everybody wants to do their best, you know, and, you know, whether you're, you know, an athlete, or whether you're a student, or whether you're a mother or a brother, or, you know, everybody wants to do their best, and everybody wants to do good and be good. And so the idea of, you know, just wanting to be happy, you know, in your life, I think that's something that we all share.
Yeah.
You know?
I agree.
Mm-hmm.
I agree fullheartedly.
Yeah.
Now, on your way to your current level of success, there is bound to have been, like, many no's and many roadblocks along the way.
Mm-hmm.
What did that do to your mind, and how did you get through them all?
Well, you know, what it's done is it has, it's allowed me to, first of all, improve my deliverance of, you know, when I'm talking to people, right? When you hear the same thing over and over and over, which is, no, we have hummus, no, we don't need it. When you hear that over and over and over, then your response to that, you're able to deliver that over and over and over again. So all of the feedback and all of the responses that I've had of no, I've had opportunities to respond to that no. Does that make sense?
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
Learning different techniques and different ways to
push
through it.
Well, yeah, I've had opportunities to reply,
yeah,
thousands of times to that no. So I've gotten really good at responding to the no, you know, I've had to dig deeper, you know, within, you know, any reservoirs that I have of, you know, how can I learn from all of these experiences where people have rejected my proposal? You know, how can I take that and make what it is that I'm doing better? So not only in my product, but also in how I communicate. So, you know, somebody told me that if you're not hearing no a lot, that you're doing something wrong. And I guess this goes back to, you know, we talked about this a little bit ago, is everything that I've done has contributed to where I'm at. And all of the rejections, and they will continue, believe me, they will continue. They allow you to sharpen and refine and redefine what it is that you're trying to get across. Because honestly, we're talking about my business, which is a food product, but a lot of times the decision makers, they don't really care about the product itself. You understand?
Yeah.
They are, they want to know who you are, right? And so yeah. You remember me saying there's times where, you know, you're really angry and you're frustrated and you're sitting there talking to this person, but you still got a smile, right? And so, because that's what he's seeing in your tone of voice and how you're sitting and all of these things. So, you know, all of this just goes to making me a better business person, a better communicator, and I've become more understanding that this is a process. You got to be really patient. You know, so anybody looking in from the outside, you know, who hasn't sat down with me like you have and listened to, you know, what it is that I've gone through and so many other people, you know, who started a business from scratch, is that it doesn't happen overnight. But that's the way it seems.
Right. From an outside perspective.
From an outside perspective, right?
You don't see all the tireless nights and the relentless work ethic that you have. And
yeah. Yeah.
But I see it. Cool. Definitely. And everyone that listens, they'll understand and they'll see it now too.
I hope so.
Oh, definitely.
All right.
Definitely, man. And man, you have so much passion behind your voice and behind your message and behind your story. It's great. It translates really well. I can't wait to get to work on this episode and get it out there to the world, because man, so many people are going to learn a lot from listening to you.
Thank you.
And just as I have already.
Yeah. So. And that is something that, you know, maybe I didn't touch on it earlier, is that you have to have an open mind, right, to listen to others. And so even though, you know, you've got all of these things that you know about yourself, you don't operate in a vacuum. You're dealing with other businesses, other people. And so what they're telling you, you may not agree with it, but you have to learn when to adapt, when to, you know, go with it, or when to say, no, that's definitely not working for me. Right? It's a constant negotiation between what you see in yourself and what the way you envision the world and the way the others, you know, who you're trying to do, you know, form relationships with.
Right.
You know, and it's always changing. You know, it's never the same.
Always evolves and changes, molds and moves.
For sure.
Like water.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Very fluid.
Very cool.
Yeah.
I like it, man. Yeah. I can't wait to get my business to where you're at your level.
Cool, man.
I'm working on it.
Right on.
And I'm going to apply everything that you've taught me today instantly, like right away, as soon as we're done this. and I'm going to apply it to all the calls that I make and all the interactions that I have here on forward. So thank you.
You're very welcome.
First off, and yeah, secondly, again, I'll just want to acknowledge you again because such an amazing person, dude. Like the amount of work and the amount of success that you've had, you know, it just goes to show that if you just do something that you believe in, you'll find a way, just as you have.
Yeah.
You know, you didn't know exactly what you were going to do and how to do it, but you knew you wanted to when the time came and you figured it out. And that's the key. You know, you can make all these goals, you can make all these visions for the future, but you still got to do something.
Yep.
Because like you said, no one's going to do it for you. And I think that portion that you said there, no one's going to do it for you, that's extremely powerful. And I understand that completely because, yeah, a lot of times I've thought, oh yeah, someone else can do this for me. Mm-hmm. And then they flake. They don't show up.
Right.
All right. I'll figure out how to do that myself.
Yep.
Before I hire somebody else or think about that, because then, you know, I can always just do it myself.
For sure.
Yeah. I like everything that you've shared so far, man. And, you know, maybe we didn't touch on everything that you wanted to talk about. Is there something else that that you'd like to talk about?
No, share? I think we've got a lot for everybody to absorb.
Perfect.
And it was nice to be here and to chat with you as well. I hope your listeners appreciated the conversation.
Yes, and definitely.
Good luck to you as well.
Thank you.
Yeah,
thank you very much. And yeah, definitely go check out the show notes. They will be at www.hadlen.com/cmc-19. And you'll be able to see the episode with Johannes Petros. Thank you again for coming out.
For sure.
It was an honor to have you here.
Yeah, you too.
Cheers.
Right on.
All right, there you have it. That was episode number 19 with Johannes Petros of Haynes Hummus. I hope you guys enjoyed this episode. He is such an amazing guy and he's up to some great, great things. And if you haven't already, make sure that once this podcast episode is over, you go over to Co-op or somewhere else that he sells this hummus and you get a tub. I'm currently eating the original version and oh man, it is so delicious. I'm just putting it on bread and some chips and I don't even know how else to eat it. Probably just eat it by itself. Yep, still good by itself. All right. Yep. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much. Have a good rest of the week. I will be posting this episode while I'm in Mexico. I finished this episode on Friday of last week, and it'll be live on, obviously this is either Thursday. Oh, man, I should really look at the dates before I do this. Thursday the 14th. You'll either be listening to it on the 14th or later of January. And yeah, I'll be in Mexico while I post this. I had everything finished up before I leave. That way I can relax. And while I'm there, all I have to do is hit post. So yeah, thank you so much, guys. Please show your support and give this podcast a rating over on iTunes. 5-star would be great. Leave some comments. And be sure to subscribe if you haven't already. And all my subscribers, thank you so much once again. And I will see you on the 21st with the next episode, number 20. The show notes for this episode are available. I already said it, but I'll do it one more time at www.hadlen.com/cmc-19. All right. Thank you so much, guys. And remember, go out there every single day and work as hard as you can towards your goals.
tummy slap.
Yeah, exactly.
So what's the symbolism here?
That's the moment where this all this shit started. And it was kind of like, that was the view that I was looking at. Oh, yeah, the text, that's Hindi for moksha, which is what I was trying to do with this. Like, this is just my last outlet before I'm done with all that shit and I can move on.